Well, it's good that there are Psalms up here because I'll be speaking on some thoughts from Psalm 36. I'm not sure how far we'll get in these thoughts, but that's where we'll start. Et je suis content qu'il y ait des Français ici dans l'auditoire. Vous êtes le bienvenu. Que le Seigneur vous bénisse abondamment. All right. Now that I've shown off a little bit of French, let's think about this passage. You know, in your meditations, as you prepare, you read the scriptures. Many of you enjoy the scriptures, and we forget that it's literature. And there's some richness in the poems of scripture. And the Psalms are just wonderful. How David and other psalmists were able to put into words thoughts that you wanted to say. And when I came to this psalm, the other day, in my own private meditations and readings, I was blown away with verse 7. And I don't think I ever put the thoughts together as that simple statement makes. I would not associate it precious with loving kindness. I don't know why. But think about that for a moment. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. What a simple and yet profound statement. Now, as you all know, and I always talk about this, I grew up in Milwaukee, came to this chapel, found the Lord Jesus as my Savior at a Bible camp. I heard for the first time in my young life that there's a God who loved me. I want you to think about this. I don't know your backgrounds, all of you. We have visitors here today. Someone actually loves you. Some of you may have issues about self-awareness, self-worth. Some of you may have issues with life itself. It seems humdrum, tedious, meaningless. Some of you may be running from life. Some of you may even be covering up your own fears with the use of drugs and alcohol to its extreme sense. Well, here's a wonderful thought. The God that we believe in is a loving God. He shows loving kindness. Let me say a word to the believers here. Look at your life. Look at the past week. Look at yesterday. Would you be able to say, without hesitation, precious is the loving kindness of God? Or, why me, Lord? Why do I have to face these decisions? What is your attitude? What is it you want? What fulfills you as a person? I would think David, he had his shortcomings. He's a sinner like the rest of us are sinners. But in his walk with God, would be able to say, precious is the loving kindness of God. Now, we want things to go well. We hope things will be fine. We want to have a meaningful life. We want to avoid pain as much as possible and suffering. But do we know the Lord? Even as those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, do we know the Lord? Do we know what He's like? What are His concerns for us? Now, we all know John 3:16 so well that we just pass it by. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That says so much in such a short amount of space. You see, loving kindness is expressive, outgoing, fulfilling for us. God loves us so much that in spite of our sins, in spite of our darkness, in spite of our egos, that he gave his only begotten Son. And he opens up this wonderful message of salvation to all of us. And whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, God is not willing that any should perish. No, he doesn't want anyone to go into the abyss. That's why he gave his Son. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's why we can have forgiveness for our sins. But we have to admit to that. We don't hear about sin today. I mean, we try to follow certain programs on television, and it's pathetic. No, everything is all right. So long as it brings pleasure to us. It's all right. You make the right choices because it brings pleasure to you. Well, there's more than that. God realizes that even in our highest vanities, we're without hope and without God. So, he wants to correct that for us. He wants us to find in him joy and peace in believing. He wants us to be with himself. And there's no higher place to be as human beings but in the presence of Almighty God. But let me again talk to the believer. If it's true that he is a loving kindness person, if it's true that we love him, how much time do we spend with God? How much time a week? How much time a day? Is everything a duty? Everything a task? Time is of essence to us. We have a family. We have a job. We have a hobby. We have a vacation. We have our books. We have our whatever. And then the time that we spend with the Lord, would it prompt us to say as we spend time with him, "Oh Lord, how precious is your loving kindness"? Would that thought even come into our minds? What thoughts do come into our minds? I know we should be people of prayer. And we need to pray for each other. And we need to be praying to God. But I have to examine my own life when it comes to prayer. There are many prayer requests we receive from this assembly through email. Pray for such and such, this person, pray for that person. And I say to myself, "Dear Lord, if I just mention their name, is that enough?" I mean, I don't know many people here today. If I just mention their name, well, what do you want me to do for that person? I'll just mention their name. You don't want me to do anything. Will it happen automatically? Oh, you mentioned John Brown. Oh, that's good. make John Brown better, and you do your will. And so I get away from any details because I don't know what God is like. I don't know if God's going to answer my prayers. I don't know if I'm a righteous man as I should be. And so I cover all those doubts with, well, at least mention their name. Bothers me. What encourages me, and you're encouraged by this, God heals someone you've been praying for. Whose prayer it was that was the prayer of faith, I'm not going to suggest. Maybe it was yours. But you join in with all the other believers and you pray for someone. There was a dear brother in our meeting, one of the elders, whose son, he was in Ireland visiting family, came down with a terrible, rare disease. He wrote, thousands of people knew him. Thousands prayed. The boy was healed. Praise God for that. But we need to enter into that. And to be able to say things like, how precious is your loving kindness, O God. We've got to keep ourselves in line with God. We've got to keep our life, I'm going to use this word, it's got to keep it kind of holy. Be holy for I'm holy. Well, holiness is not something easy to live with. Your mind, your desires, the places you go, what you see, what you read. Wow, that's a lot to take in. If you're not walking in the light as He is the light, if you're not talking to God as He deserves to be talked to, we're going to shy away. Simple reference. Adam, where are you? We walk in the cool of the day together. Where are you? Hiding. Sin does that to us. We have to be very careful as we walk with the Lord. Sometimes we get cocky. I talked to my brother Al one time, and he was you know Al, great evangelist. And he was, I don't recommend this, but he was working with prostitutes on the waterfront. Got in his car, picked up these women, and witnessed to them. And so they were warned all along the lakefront. Watch out for a guy in a green car. He's a man of God. So he said, Bob, let me tell you something. No, the prostitutes, I am now tempted. That doesn't bother me. It's the secretary who's sitting there doing her work that ruffles my feathers, that tempts me. And it's exactly the way Satan works. It's the little things. But I want to come before the Lord as someone who can say things to God that have meaning. You know, we have a breaking of bread meeting at this group of believers. It's a time for, I don't know what to call it, I have to be very careful, for originality, if you please. We sing songs, and they're beautiful hymns. But those are words written by other people. We have the Word of God, and we read it, and we love it. But those are words written by other people. Where are your words? And some would say, we can't. Oh, yes, you can. We can be fresh and new and vital and exciting in our walk with the Lord. Now, we're not going to say anything and do anything that is against the Word of God. But we're afraid of our words. Maybe I told you the story when we were working in Quebec, an older brother. He loved the Lord, but he didn't know how to talk to God. So I did something. It was very simple. I said, "Listen, brother Omar, get a piece of paper, sit at home, write down everything you want to say to the Lord when you come to the breaking of bread. Put it in your Bible, hide it there, get up and read it." It was beautiful. Within 3 months, he didn't need the paper anymore. He didn't need to write his thoughts down anymore. They came. What does it take to spark you to praise the name of the Lord in a fresh way, in a meaningful way, in an understanding way? That's why we need each other so much. It talks about that in this passage. We need to be together. We need to worship together. We need to have recreation together. We need to enjoy the Lord together. We need to learn from each other. Something someone says, something in a prayer. We talk about the leading of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is leading us to an understanding of the person of Christ. And the understanding of the person of Yahweh. So that we can put together in our lives expressions that we read in the Word of God. Well, wait a minute, Bob. This is the Word of God, and you're never going to get higher than that. I didn't say that. But sometime in David's life, he had to write this down. Sometime he had to come to the place in his walk with the Lord to be able to say, "How precious is your loving kindness, O God." Now, you may not put it that way. Maybe you're a younger person. You may use different words. I was reading a passage, my own private devotions, and it hit me so hard that I said, I fell down on my knees. I just couldn't. It was so beautiful. But it's been there for thousands of years. But it was so beautiful that I reacted to it. There has to be within our demeanor something of Christ that would be manifested to other people. And we were talking with a young lady before here. I hope she sees something in us as believers that exemplifies the person of Christ. You can't put it on. You can't fake it. It's either there or it isn't. We want this meeting to be a meeting where the Lord Jesus is exalted. And by what we say and how we react, how we feel, no pretense. Just living. I told you when I knew a fellow in Quebec, an English fellow, and we went fishing together, and he said, "I'm going to bring my buddy with me." And he brought the buddy, and the fellow said, "Oh, by the way, I have a song for you." What? And he sang me a song before we went fishing. We didn't catch any fish, but we... I was just flabbergasted. I still remember, "I'm traveling to my home way up in heaven." That's the song he sang for me. It's wonderful to be a child of God, to share with each other in the wonders of his person and of his work. When people are going through the valley of the shadow of death, to be there, to comfort, Some of us can't handle these things. We have to be very, it's so delicate. You're walking with the Lord, and something wonderful happens in your life. You come to this meeting, and you share it with someone, they said, and they're looking at you and say, well, so what? I broke my arm last week. Why are you so happy? I beg your pardon? It's hard to associate with blessing. You know, it says, weep with those who weep. Rejoice with those who rejoice. It's hard for us to rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Well, some of you say it isn't hard for us. There's no rejoicing in this meeting. No, I'm not saying that. We have to be expressive. We have to be... What's kindness all about anyway? How can you be kind to each other? Suspect, critical, but how do you be kind? It's the time you spend with the Lord. The times, the good times, and the bad times. I know we talk a lot about those who are suffering and we want you to be healed and we want you to have joy in your life, but it's hard to talk about those who are rejoicing. Ever been a time you're saying about someone else in this meeting, what is that person? Why are they always so happy? Every time you see them, there's a brightness and a joy about their lives. It makes me sick. I don't want them to be so happy. Why? Because you're not happy. Because you don't feel that delight. Oh, I'm a believer. I read my Bible. I pray every day. I go on with my life. I come to the meeting. Everything's a duty and a task. Oh, it's Sunday morning. I've got to go to the breaking of bread again. If I don't go to the breaking of bread, they're going to say, "Why, Robert, why aren't you coming to the breaking of bread?" Well, be honest. I don't feel like it. But as you get up and you live your Christian life, all right, it's not always easy. But there's an anticipation, a joy of meeting the Lord in the way you never met Him before, or meeting other people in a way you've never met them before. God has saved our souls. We've answered the invitation of the Lord Jesus, who said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heaven laden, and I will give you rest." Now, some of you don't sleep well. I'm going to go back to that. You get up in the morning. You're not a morning person. I wasn't a morning person until my dear wife taught me how not to be so grumpy. It took a lot on her part. See, my wife's a very quiet, strong, loving, caring person. I just said to her, you know, a lot of things don't change. "Dear, do you always have to go the second mile?" She wants other people to feel well. We'll portion our food. We do a lot of sharing of our food at restaurants. And she always gives me the bigger portion. I said, "Stop giving me the bigger part. I can't eat it." This is in her nature. If she's going to cut a pizza, she cuts it like this. She gets that, and I get that. When you think about it, though, our God is a loving person. He wants the best for you and the best for me. So He sends the best. He sends His Son to be our Savior and our Master and our Lord. He wants us to come and see. When the disciples in John 1 were following John the Baptist, and John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," the second time. Two of the disciples are following. What do you want? Jesus said, well, where do you live? Who are you? Come and see. Come and see. You know, I don't want my Christian life ever to be reduced to humdrum. I don't want to be sitting in a rocking chair. I got to up my numbers now. I mean, when I'm 95, I get a kick out of that because every once in a while I'll turn to Carolyn and say, Carolyn, do you realize I'm 85 years old? Yes. Oh, no, that's not what I wanted. That's not what I wanted you to say. But as we grow in the things of God, do people around us still see the Lord? Get out of the way. Get out of the way. We're lights of the world. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Shine, shine. Don't hide it under a bushel. But I don't want people to look at me. I'm not good at talking to others about God. I'm a poor witness. I don't read my Bible. Enough of the excuses. I'm not talking about being overweight or being too thin. I'm talking about spiritual. You want to be overweight spiritually. You want to walk in fullness of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. How precious is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Wow. I write some poetry. Not always great poetry. I like the artistic idea of poetry and thoughts, putting thoughts together that are uplifting. But these are such beautiful words. Under the shadow of his wings. Do you feel protected? Do you feel loved? Do you feel that fuzzy, warm feeling of being under the shadow of God Almighty wings? Things are busy for us. Sometimes so busy that it makes us dizzy. And we need a quiet time. Now some of you may enjoy a quiet time, husband and wife together. Some of you have your own little quiet time. Some of you have family time together. But it's time together when we're not judgmental. Years ago when I was at college, there was another wonderful, quiet believer. And something came up. So I boastfully said, let's spend the night in prayer. You and I together pray through the night for whatever is going to take place. That's an excellent idea. When should we start? It was 9 o'clock. We start now. So we got down. We were in his room. We got down by the bedside, and he was just like this and didn't say a word. So I start praying and praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and I stop. He didn't move an inch. So I prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed. And I looked and it's been an hour. Feedback, something, say something. I didn't say this to him. We're in prayer, but say something to fill this void of emptiness. So after 2 hours, I said, I've had enough. He said, what's wrong, Bob? I've prayed enough. I know you have prayed a lot. I'm not doing it anymore. Doing what anymore? I'm not going to pray through the whole night. Why not? Because you don't say anything. Why do we have to say anything? Well, because there are two of us, so I can hear what you're praying. And I left. Big spiritual Bob Thrall left. I couldn't even fulfill the mandate I had established. Pray all night. Because my dear friend, let me be a little bit more understanding of the Lord God himself. And was left to do whatever praying he would do. So we have ideas. We think we're something, but we need to be quiet. Be still and know that I am God. I did something with a group of young people one time. And I said to them, there were about 12 of them, and they were 18, 19-year-olds. I said, I want you to all go to different parts of this auditorium. And I want you to spend 15 minutes with God. Go ahead. Now, what would you do in those 15 minutes? It was over. Blew the whistle, they all came back. How did you like it? I didn't know what to do. I squirmed around. I didn't know. How about you? I didn't even know 15 minutes had gone by. It was beautiful. So we're different. We don't know how to do anything quietly in the presence of the Lord God himself. We need programs. We need issues. We need the internet. We need flashing lights. We need something to occupy our mind. Meditation, forget about meditation. That's nonsense. But I think of David in writing these words. Put their trust under the shadow of your wings. Now, I don't get from that image a bird flying over and a shadow passing quickly. I can't keep up to God. He's gone. It's stationary. Are you comfortable with being alone, stationary with Almighty God? Now, sometimes with our kids, we don't mind if they're stationary once in a while. It's hard getting them together. And so it was beautiful to see some of the children here. I mean, that's a long time for a kid to sit not doing anything. There's a lesson in there for us. They are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. Turn to Hebrews with me. Chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. What a message this is for the fullness of his house. To be gathered together on the first day of the week in the assembly of God's people. To do what? In a meeting in, I think it was Georgia, they wore head coverings. And the woman wanted to do something, and she bought herself a beautiful hat and came to the breaking of bread meeting. And this is what the reaction was. Who does she think she is? That hat must have cost a pile of money. Is that why we're together? Conformity? No expression. It says in Romans 12, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, bodies as one sacrifice. So we come together in this group of believers, and we're going to learn things from each other that we could never learn by ourselves. We desperately need to see Christ in each believer so that we might have a fullness of appreciation of who he is. Now, it's natural that you will tend toward people of like-mindedness. But we're all one in Christ. We all have something to contribute to each other. That's why it's so important to have a local meeting where there's local worship and local ministry among the household of faith. And what we must realize as believers, we're not just individuals. What I do in my private life will affect deeply the fellowship in the public meeting of the body of Christ. So I've got to be careful. Not just for my own personal walk with the Lord, to make sure that I'm not hiding anything in the ground and no one will notice it. But to be brave, to be competent, to be expressive, be willing to change, to be kind, to be loving, all within the framework of the local church. And he says, they are abundantly satisfied with the fullness of your house. Abundantly satisfied with the building up of each other. And as you come here each Lord's Day, and I have to examine my heart. I mean, I've been part of this local assembly for many, many years. To come with this abundant feeling of joy. I want to be here. This is home. This is where I found Christ. This is where I'm growing in Christ. This is where we were sent out for Christ. This is where we come back and share in the truth of God's word. But is there a joy in my heart? Is there a fullness as I see you and you see me? May God direct our thoughts to him. And may we together exalt his name. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, what a calling we have as your children. A call to worship. A call to share. A call of kindness and discernment. An exhortation how we might improve each other's lives as we serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for your love. We thank you for words from this psalm that we read. We thank you for the fellowship of faith and give thanks for the Lord Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.